world of pensions can be a slightly mystifying place, and for certain generations, there are people who really don't understand them at all. So to help clear up some of the fog surrounding the subject that is pensions, I'm delighted to welcome Keith Humphrey from Workplace Pensions Direct to the Business Hub this evening to just basically give us a pensions 101. So some of this you may already know, some of this may be a little illumination for you, but it's a good place to start, as if you know nothing. So thanks for joining me, Keith.
You're welcome. If I can start maybe just to talk a little bit about the general point around pensions.
Yeah.
And I think for most people that they glaze over when they hear this word pension. It almost sends them asleep. And I think what I would urge people to do when thinking about pensions is not really about what it is, but what it does. And really, when people think about the course of their life, they look at lots of different events that are likely to occur. They're likely to want to buy their first house.
Yes.
They're likely to want to get married.
Oh, you hear so many people, don't you, going, oh, I've got a little savings account for my house. I've got a savings account for my marriage. I've got a savings account for my first car.
Exactly, exactly. And things like my kids to university.
Yes.
All of these events that they almost are very proud to talk about and to aspire to achieve. Yet this event called a pension, or shall we say retirement, is actually the single biggest event of anyone's life. And so the idea that someone should be forced to save for the single biggest event of their life is rather curious to me.
It is a strange one, isn't it? Because we don't like... Well, I don't think people don't like to think about it to start off with, do they? Because they see it as coming towards the end of their life, which nobody likes to think about. But equally, it's a massive change. You spend 40, 50 years working, and that is a huge change. So a lot of people kind of go, oh, it's miles off.
Well, I think what I would challenge again is to think about the day of retirement is over. We are moving forward to a point where people are not going to have this line in the sand when they're working one day and stop the next. And what's going to happen is that people are gradually just going to change their activities or scale back or change what they do. And really the way that people should think about that time of their lives is to replace the income that they're going to work to do or perform some task that they're being paid to do, and replace that income with an income that they've saved and put to one side. And so really, when I think about pensions, I describe them as a glorified savings account.
Mm-hmm.
So people are putting money away into a savings account that's very tax advantageous, but a savings account for a day when they cease to work or are going to scale back their work.
Yeah. And so basically, the reason this has been brought in, therefore, by the government is to kind of help people realise that they need to do that, because a lot of people, probably myself included, you know, I'm coming up, I'm approaching 30, and I have been fairly lax on thinking about what I'm going to do, and basically waited. I knew this day was coming where they would do it to me and they would start taking it out. So I basically just let that happen because I've not really thought about it. And there are a lot of people like that who would kind of just bump along happily and not have, and therefore could end up with nothing when they get to the age of retirement.
Or certainly dependent on the state. And I'm sure if anyone thought that they would be dependent on their state at the start of their working life, they would be disappointed. I'm sure that's how things have panned out. I would challenge people to think about their parents and their grandparents' generation and how that they as a generation dealt with pensions. And I think it's that sort of journey that has led to the culture that surrounds it now in some respects. And when I think of my parents and the way that they looked upon pensions, they were very lucky in the sense that they didn't really have to think about saving for a pension. I know my dad, he worked for a pretty large local employer who had a very decent pension scheme. He joined that company at a time when he was compelled, interestingly enough, to join the pension scheme. So he took the job, he took the pension scheme.
Yeah.
And he often said to me, growing up in Reading is where I'm from originally, you know, three young lads, he probably could have done with the extra money that was being taken out of his wages to pay towards extra things for the family as we were growing up. But I don't remember going without particularly. And 30 years later, he said to me subsequently, I'm very glad that I didn't have the choice to opt out of that pension scheme.
You do get used to, don't you, whatever income you've got. I don't know anybody who goes at the end of the month, oh, I've got a bit too much money this month.
Of course.
So if you don't have it in the first place, then you can't miss it.
I think it's very much about making spending decisions for a lot of people. And of course, there are some very genuine situations where people are struggling to make ends meet. But there's many, many of the population whereby exactly that. They're choosing to buy the latest mobile phone, to have the Sky TV, to have the little luxuries in life, and maybe taking the approach, I'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. And the problem with that as an approach is actually it's a flawed concept, because it's too late in the terms of pension to actually save when you haven't saved. You can't magic a lump sum out of nowhere. That's the problem.
One of the first questions I asked you right at the start, Keith, was why the government have decided to make us all join into a pension scheme, or make businesses offer pension provision. Is that basically because not enough people were doing it themselves?
I think, in short, yes, is the answer to that. But I think you need to understand what's happened in the society. And we've moved away from being the very large paternal employer to lots and lots of smaller employers. And again, I would challenge people to think about their own family. And I'm sure most of their parents and grandparents probably work for a large employer who provided a pension scheme. And more people are working for smaller employers that do not provide that pension scheme. So we've got a situation where it's a bit of an odd one, in the sense we've got more and more people that are reaching retirement age and less people saving for pensions. Now, the successive governments have always been at a bit of a quandary about this as an issue, because political cycles are typically 5 years, but a pension cycle is 30 years.
Yeah.
And so for any government to make a policy decision to force people to save, it's likely to be unpopular initially, and it's not going to benefit them in their political cycle.
Yeah.
And so I actually applaud, it was originally a Labour government and has been continued on by the Coalition and the Conservative governments that have followed the legislation through. But it was a piece of legislation called the Pensions Act 2008. And that, in essence, compelled employers to provide a pension scheme and assess their workforce and automatically enrol. And people may be familiar with the term auto-enrolment.
Yeah, we've seen all those adverts. I'm in.
That's it, I'm in, all that sort of stuff. So automatically enrol eligible employees into a scheme and pay into it for them. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that simply for the reason that you allude to. Not enough people are doing it for themselves. What we're looking at here is a policy said it started off in 2008, but isn't really going to feel the benefit for another 30 years.
Well, to give the example, I mean, I've moved around quite a lot since 2008 in terms of where I've worked, and pretty much every single employer between then and now has gone through this auto-enrolment process, to the point where at Stray FM, where I am now, only just did it this year. So it's taken a long time to get to the point where everyone is in it, and it's going to take even longer before we start to feel the benefits of it.
And in fact, most companies are still yet to comply with the legislation, and so over the next 18 months, pretty much by the end of that period, most companies will be in, as it were.
Now, Keith, you at Workplace Pensions Direct can help businesses who are looking at auto-enrolment, maybe finding it very difficult, maybe thinking, oh, what do we do? That is basically what your company helps with, isn't it?
So we're in essence a pension consultancy business that specialises in auto-enrolment. For a few hundred pounds, we're able to take that problem away for companies and help them comply.
So if you are listening to this and you are running a company and thinking, oh, we would need to sort our auto-enrolment out because that deadline is looming and it's starting to come up quick, 18 months goes before you know it, doesn't it, in business? Then they can check your website out, can't they?
Absolutely. We deal with hundreds of clients and help them in this area. Our website is workplacepensionsdirect.co.uk.
Keith, thank you so much. And we'll be back next month to talk more about pensions and where your money is going.